Uh-oh, Ryan. We got company.
Dean peered over his shoulder into the dirty glass. About a half mile behind them was an RV just like the one they were riding, with companions of its own.
I count four carny wags chasing us, including the biggest one in their convoy.
Who's driving them, John? Did the carny folk manage to escape too?
Can't see, Millie. They're still too far back to tell. Probably got their armor down anyway.
Rousey's are sick, man. It doesn't make much difference. You can bet they're after our hides.
Ryan pressed the accelerator to the floorboard and held it there. The wags were closing distance. Dean could see that. Ryan was unable to make the RV go over 78 miles an hour. The front end started to shimmy and shake like it was about to come apart.
JB, start looking for a place to make a stand.
The flat plain offered few defensive prospects. With the river gone underground, there were no trees or bushes. They had to keep going. Soon the lead wag was close enough to try to shoot at them.
We got trouble ahead, Ryan.
Post Skydark. Highway departments worldwide had gone spinning down the toilet along with everything else.
Could have been some kind of service road for firefighters or power line crews.
Whatever its original purpose, the detour was an endurance course for the Winnebago. The hairpins were tight, and the grade in some places was 45 degrees, which forced the companions to brace themselves against the floor and walls or end up in a pile of tangled arms and legs at the rear door. Negotiating the zigzags took some very careful driving. Keeping the wag going with an automatic tranny was tough. If he gained too much speed and lost control, Ryan would drop a wheel off the edge of the road. The unpaved track was badly rilled out in spots. The weight of the RV caused them to crumble. The spinning rear tires cut deeper potholes and ruts. As the wag climbed, the companions could hear a chorus of engines below, roaring ominously as they lumbered up the track after them.
Whoever they are, they sure got a giant bug up their asses over us.
If they were bill folk, you'd think they would have turned back by now. After all, they did win the fight.
Makes me think it's gotta be the Magus. We caused him a good bit more trouble than we did the farmers. We didn't just upset his plans, we put an end to his carny operation. Maybe forever.
And the Magus doesn't give up until he's dead square even. That's a proven fact.
As the grade continued to steepen, the RV lost so much speed that they probably could have outpaced it on foot. But abandoning their wheels at this point was out of the question. Ryan was keeping an eye on the fuel gauge, as was JB. Because of the road's angle, the tank sensor was misreading the level. They both knew it had to be wrong. It showed more gas now than when they'd started.
Look up there, Dad!
Where?
There! We're almost at the edge of the forest!
All that separated them from the wall of 100-foot-tall trees were a few switchbacks.
What do you think, Ryan?
I think the next hairpin turn is as far as we go in this wag. I'm gonna wedge it across the road. Make our friends down below come after us on foot. Everybody get ready to bail.
He had to park the Winnebago so it couldn't be budged, rammed, or dragged out of the way. He knew the other wags couldn't back up without going over the edge, so there was no way they could pull it free. The lead wag could only push it, and the road was so steep there was no traction to do that. He reached the spot he was looking for.
Everybody out! Head up the road for the tree line. Triple quick!
As they ran ahead, Ryan turned the front wheel hard over, put it in reverse, and goosed the gas pedal, backing up until he bashed the rear end into the facing slope. Then he shifted into drive, cutting the wheels as far as they'd go the other way, and moved forward a half yard. He put it in reverse again and repeated the process. After shifting into forward gear, he very carefully edged the Winnebago's nose off the road, dropping it hard onto its front axle, with its rear bumper brushing the sheer wall on the other side. Foot traffic could pass if it hopped over the bumper, but nothing else. Below him, the other wags were getting closer. Ryan climbed out the driver's side, slung his stire, and beat up the road to the edge of the dense forest where the others were waiting. As he approached the wall of trees, he sensed something unnatural. There was only some kind of mutated evergreens here. No other types of vegetation. No undergrowth. Just pale gray dust that shaded the seemingly endless sprawl of trunks. Smothering heat and silence. No air, little light. It was the kind of place that gave children nightmares, and that grown men and women avoided like the bloody flux. The rumble of engines coming up the grade suddenly stopped.
They're at the barricade. Let's go. We've got to hurry now.
He waved the others up the road that vanished into the immense stand of trees. JB went first, pulling Doc behind him on the tether. Mildred followed, then Dean, Lilu, and Christy. Everyone but Doc and Lilu had a weapon ready. Jack stood beside the mountain lion, who hung back at the edge of the darkness, as if reluctant to set foot in the woods. Its huge nostrils flared, as though it had caught the scent of something filtering down through the trees.
What's the matter with your pet, Jack?
Afraid.
The magnificent Krekka plowed the biggest carny wag through the quarter-mile-long dust cloud, swirling in the wake of Ryan Cotter's RV. The man had lost virtually everything. Three-quarters of his people and wags had been left behind at Bullardville, as had all of the Mutie menagerie except for Jackson, who sat on the floor at his hip. In the blind rush to escape, all of the carnival gear had been abandoned, the sum total of his working life. Krekka had gone from being carny master to master of nothing in a couple of hours, from anticipating the biggest score of his life to the kind of devastation he had only in his worst dreams thought possible. The Magus was mostly to blame. The cyborg was arrogant, parasitical, and evil beyond imagining. It had been his hubris and lust for others' pain that had allowed Cotter to turn the tables and beat him. The steel-eyed monster's calf muscle continued to spasm intermittently, despite their disconnecting the damaged leg sensor. The contortions of his half-mechanical face were still gruesome. A once-human spirit was trapped in layers of metal and plastic. The Magus was still in complete control of the situation. Krekka knew he had the capacity to replace all that had been lost, the wags, gear, muties, chillers. But the Magus could also just limp away, jump into the past, or wherever it was that he disappeared to, and leave the magnificent Krekka to a less-than-magnificent fate. As much as Krekka wanted to, he couldn't take his rage out on the Magus. He didn't dare. Magus was raging himself. He didn't like to be thwarted. One-Eye Cotter had been a thorn in his side for far too long. That man had outthought and outfought him. He might have even caused the Magus some permanent physical damage. That would never be forgotten, nor forgiven. It had been the Magus who, after they'd escaped Bullard, had ordered Krekka to turn and chase the hijacked wag toward Paradiseville. Old Steel Eyes had wanted to let Cotter know a pack of wolves was howling up his backside. It was more of the same, Krekka realized, the same primitive urge, answered in the same way. The Magus had to instill fear in others in order to quiet his own. Krekka found himself wishing that Ryan Cotter had nailed the monster in the head with that sideways rain of full metal jacketed slugs, turning the brains and gears inside to a pile of bloody metal shavings.
Red Blast!
A couple of hundred yards in front of him, Cotter nearly ran head-on into the concrete barricade across the highway. Krekka tapped his brakes, slowing in plenty of time to keep the wags behind from plowing into his rear end and make the hard right turn. As he did, he saw the white signal rock below the detour sign. So did the Magus.
Your scout's been up the detour and back and left his mark, which means there's probably a way out for Cotter. Go faster! You've got to catch him!
The big wag was a tight fit down the two-rut dirt road. Things got even dicier as the track started to climb through a series of tight switchback turns. As the Winnebago gained altitude above the valley and the road grew ever steeper, Krekka's hands began to sweat on the steering wheel. Beads of perspiration ran from his wiry red hair, down the sides of his face, and along the scar on his cheek. Wet marks appeared under his arms. There was no going back. There wasn't enough room on the track for even the smallest wag to reverse course, let alone turn. The drop-off was precipitous. There was nothing to stop the big wag if it tumbled over and started rolling. The RV and its occupants would be turned to scrap by the time it stopped at the bottom of the slope. Jackson sensed its trainer's terror, even if it didn't understand the reason for it. Sitting between the driver and passenger chairs, it gazed up at Krekka with black, dead eyes.
Shut that damn thing up, Krekka, or I'll damn well strangle it.
Jackson, get in your bed.
With a chastened hangdog expression, the Sticky retreated to the pile of stiff rags behind the driver's seat. The three Rousties sitting on the wag's bench seat gave Jackson their full attention, hands on pistol butts. The needle-toothed critter was wearing its choke collar, but it wasn't chained up.
Where's this bastard road going? We're headed up over the bastard mountain. I swear I'll cut out Azabeth's heart if he foxed us on this.
You'll have to stand in line.
I will not.
The Carney Master had already started to wonder if his scout had even tried to tackle this road before setting down the all-clear marker. In the back of his mind, he had begun to envision a further narrowing of the already too narrow track. And somewhere up ahead, maybe just around the next turn, a roadway collapse brought on by washwater from the Camrains and the weight of Cotter's Wag. Maybe Cotter and company were already down at the bottom of a ravine, the RV lying on top of Azimuth's crushed Baja bug.
Shit, shit, shit!
Krekka jerked around a hairpin turn and suddenly came upon the stolen RV turned sideways with its front wheels hanging off the road.
Could be an ambush.
You think?
His hand reached up and deftly dropped the steel louvers that protected the Winnebago's cab.